Welcome to the Countdown to Canada podcast by Arrive, a podcast for newcomers by newcomers. We give you the information, resources, and tips you need to build a successful life here. And whether you're exploring your immigration options, looking for your first job, starting your studies as an international student, or adapting to life in Canada, this podcast will set you up for a smooth journey. Now let's get you home.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sugandha, your host for today's episode. I moved to Canada 3 years ago, and personally, for me, the most challenging part of getting settled in Canada was finding a suitable job. When you're a newcomer, there will be many different aspects of the job search process that are new to you, such as networking or the importance of culture fit. And we've covered many of these in previous episodes of the Countdown to Canada podcast, so please do check them out. Arrive also has a free guide on finding your career in Canada, which covers tips on everything from resume preparation to interviewing. We link out to it in the episode description, so you can download it and keep it handy as you progress through your job search journey. The single most important thing you need as you start looking for a job in Canada is your resume. You might be under the impression that this is easy because you've likely made and sent out resumes before in your home country, but the Canadian-style resume is very different from resume formats used in other countries. Today, I'm with Prachi Corday, a senior recruiter at the Royal Bank of Canada. And we'll be talking about the Canadian style resume, what it is, and how you can create one for yourself. Hi, Prachi. How are you today?
I'm great. Really excited about co-hosting this episode with you.
Awesome. So let's get started. Prachi, as a recruiter at RBC, you must definitely get hundreds of resumes each week.
Mm-hmm.
What's your usual reaction when you come across a resume that's not in the standard Canadian format?
Well, the first thing that usually comes to my mind is that this candidate isn't familiar with the Canadian job market. Even as a newcomer, you're expected to do some research to understand how the job market works here and how it might differ from that in your country. But if your resume isn't in the line with the typical Canadian format, then it's obvious that you haven't done that research. And this will make any employer hesitant about hiring you. Because if you don't know the job market, then it's quite likely you don't know the industry or how the jobs here might be different from back home.
That makes sense.
The other possibility might be that you do know about the Canadian style resume, but just didn't want to put in the effort to redo your resume. So the impression it gives recruiter is that you are either not interested in the job or that you are just lazy. Neither of which makes you come across as a strong potential candidate.
That makes sense, Prachi. And these are both excellent reasons why newcomers should always use a well-written Canadian-style resume for all job applications in Canada. Any other reasons why this should be a priority for our listeners?
Sure. There are a lot of reasons, actually. But I think the most important one is that a non-Canadian-style resume is unlikely to even reach us as a recruiter. Most employers in Canada, or at least the larger ones, we use something called as ATS, which is Applicant Tracking System, which is a software to shortlist resumes that best fits the role. For instance, if we get thousands of people who apply to a job, ATS will automatically reject 70 to 80% of those resumes, and the recruiter will only see 200 to 250 resumes.
Oh, that's a very small number.
Exactly. If you are using a non-standard resume format, ATS won't be able to properly read the contents of your resume. And even if you are a strong candidate, your resume might be just rejected upfront.
That's a really interesting point, Prachi. I think this is something that a lot of newcomers don't realize. So thank you for flagging that.
Sure.
Next, can you also tell our audience what a Canadian-style resume actually means?
Absolutely. The term Canadian-style resume includes three types of resume formats that are commonly used in the Canadian job market. These are formats that recruiters and hiring managers are pretty familiar with. And they include sections for all the information the employer needs to make a hiring decision.
Okay. You mentioned three formats. So how are these three resume formats different from each other?
The most common resume format is the reverse chronological format, which, as the name suggests, lists your work experience from the most recent to the old. The reverse chronological format works best for candidates who have at least few years of relevant work experience in the same industry and who don't have any noticeable employment gaps.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is the functional resume, which is sometimes also called as skill-based resume. This is different from the reverse chronological format because it focuses on your skills, not experience. And as a result, it's best suited for applicants who have little or no relevant work experience in the field, such as recent graduates or co-ops or candidates who are looking to switch the industry or domain. Finally, the third one is the combination or hybrid format. This format is ideal for showcasing both your transferable skills and professional experience. Usually, you will list your work experience in a reverse chronological format, and the skills section will include a summary of your qualifications and technical skills. This format is used by different group of applicants, including experienced workers, workers with multiple short-term projects and or contractual jobs, or those having significant work gaps.
Got it. Thanks for explaining. So, as a newcomer building your first Canadian resume, give some thought to which resume format would be the best fit for you, given your professional situation. If you have continuous relevant experience, pick the reverse chronological format. And if you have employment gaps or if you're planning on changing industries, you might want to use a functional or combination format instead. If you're not sure what your resume should look like, Arrive has some excellent Canadian resume templates that you can download. These are free to use and fully customizable, so it's a great place to start when you're just setting off to create your resume. And we'll add a link to these in the episode description. So, Prachi, when a candidate applies for a job, you mentioned that their resume will first go through an ATS software, right?
Yes, in most cases, the applicant tracking system's job is to shortlist resumes that are the closest match to the job description. Essentially, what this software does is it looks for keywords from the job description in each resume. And if it finds enough, it considers your resume to be a good match. So make sure you're customizing every single resume with relevant keywords. And by relevant, I mean those that are in job description and that applies to you.
Yes, and please, please don't overstuff your resume with irrelevant keywords just to make it through the ATS. because don't forget, if your resume is selected, it will go to a human recruiter.
That's right. So please make sure whatever you're writing on your resume makes sense and is absolutely true. Because resume screening is just the first step of the recruitment process, and your skills and experience will become apparent in the interview rounds that follow.
Prachi, for me, getting my resume right was something that I struggled with when I was new to Canada. One of the biggest differences between the Canadian style resume and the resumes from my home country, India, is that in Canada, you usually list your accomplishments instead of job responsibilities for each job. First of all, why is that? And do you have any tips for our listeners on how they can make their achievements stand out on their resumes?
You're absolutely right. Canadian employers don't want to see what your job duties were or what you did in your previous jobs on a day-to-day basis. They are more interested in seeing your achievements and how you brought value to your team and company. To make your accomplishments stand out, I recommend that to quantify them wherever possible. So for example, if you increase sales of the company, mention by what percentage year on year, or if you are in a customer-facing role, what was your average client satisfaction score or how many customer complaint tickets did you resolve on a weekly or daily basis? Including data helps not only recruiters, but hiring managers visualize the impact you can have in the role you have applied for.
Thanks for sharing those examples. I hope that they will help our audience better understand how to present their experience in a way that works for the Canadian job market. Prachi, another challenge that newcomers typically face is the lack of Canadian experience to put in their resume. And unfortunately, the harsh reality is that many employers are reluctant to hire candidates who don't have any Canadian experience, even if they have many years of foreign experience in the same field.
Right.
So how can newcomers overcome this challenge?
That's a great question, Sugandha. Essentially, the reason employers are looking for candidates with Canadian experience is that they want to hire people who are familiar with the Canadian work culture. I have had several people ask me, how will I ever get Canadian experience if no one is willing to hire me? But the good thing is that the definition of Canadian experience is quite broad. If you have worked for a North American company in your home country, that might be considered Canadian experience by some recruiters. Canadian experience doesn't necessarily mean a paid full-time job. You can also list many volunteering work, internship, co-ops, part-time jobs on your resume as a Canadian experience.
That's great. I know many newcomers shy away from volunteering, thinking that it's free work, but it is part of Canadian culture. And not only will it give you the Canadian experience you need to list on your resume, but it's also an excellent way to build your network and showcase your skills in practice. And we talk about this at length in our networking guide for newcomers, which we've linked out to in the episode description. Prachi, I also want to talk about how newcomers should deal with employment gaps on their resume. I think this is a fairly common issue for newcomers, especially right. because it can take several months to find your first job in Canada. So do you have any tips on how newcomers can effectively explain these gaps on their resumes?
Sure, Sugandha. But before I answer this question, I want to highlight that there's nothing wrong with having a gap in your work history. The trick is to be able to properly explain how you use that time productively. But if your employment gap is only a few months long, you may be able to avoid awkward questions by simply listing the years of your employment for each job. For instance, 2019 to 2023. However, if your employment gap is longer than a year, you can consider using a functional or a combination resume format to make the gap less obvious. But it isn't enough to just manage the gap on your resume. You also need to be prepared for questions about it during your interviews. Perhaps you should use that time to upskill or volunteer for a non-profit organization. Or as a newcomer, maybe you had enrolled in a bridging program to build skills that are in demand in the Canadian market. But make sure you keep your response to the point, honest, positive.
Those are excellent tips. Thank you so much. Now, speaking of in-demand skills, what kind of skills should newcomers be listing on their resumes?
So the most important thing to keep in mind while shortlisting skills to add to your resume is whether or not they are relevant to the jobs you're applying for. Are these skills expressly mentioned in the job description? If the answer to this question is yes, then you can include that skills on your resume. Also in Canada, employers are interested in learning about both your technical and soft skills. So make sure you include both types of skills and don't go overboard with your list. 6 to 8 key points or key skills are usually good enough.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with the terms that Prachi just used, technical skills are job-specific skills like proficiency in a particular software or a coding language.
Right.
And these are also called hard skills. These are typically skills that you learn either in school or on the job. On the other hand, soft skills are personality attributes or traits that help you perform well in pretty much any kind of job. For example, good communication skills and time management skills are likely going to be crucial in most jobs these days.
Exactly. So you shouldn't just be listing your skills in the skills section of your resume, but also in your cover letter.
Ah, yes. I think many newcomers significantly underestimate the importance of a well-written cover letter. So let's talk about this for a moment. What exactly is a cover letter and why is it an important part of a job application?
Sure, Sugandha. So a cover letter is a short formal letter that accompanies your resume. And I know a lot of applicants think, if it's not mandatory to include a cover letter, why should I waste my time?
Mm-hmm.
So let me try to address this question. First of all, a cover letter isn't supposed to be a condensed version of your resume. Instead, it is an opportunity to provide additional context and information about you, why you are the best fit for the role. For instance, you might want to use your cover letter to provide examples of your accomplishments or explain why you're passionate about the company. A cover letter is also a good place to explain any gaps in your resume, such as essential skills you are still working to build. Second, your Canadian style resume will be 1 to 2 pages long at the most.
Mm-hmm.
So your cover letter gives you a whole extra page to convince the employer that you are the ideal candidate for the job. And finally, yes, you're right. In many job applications, including a cover letter is optional. But it's even more important to include one in such cases. A strong cover letter shows how motivated you are for the role and will help you stand out among other similar qualified candidates. So what if it takes extra hour to create a cover letter? It will significantly improve your chances of being considered for the job, and it's worth it.
Absolutely, Prachi. What other tips do you have for our listeners who are crafting their first Canadian-style resume?
That's a good question. The first tip would be to keep it concise and crisp, ideally 1 page long. If you have more than 10 plus years of work experience or applying for an academic role, then perhaps maximum 2 pages, okay. But definitely not longer than that. On an average, a recruiter goes through hundreds and hundreds of applications each day. So they don't have time to read through your lengthy documents. And in all likelihood, if your resume is 3-4 pages long, it will have repetitions, skills and experience that aren't even relevant to the job, or points that aren't impactful enough. The crisper your resume, the more impactful and impressive it can be. So if you have more than 10 years of experience, don't include your initial roles, especially if the work you do has changed significantly since then. And if any of your earlier roles aren't relevant to the job, take them off your resume, please. Use bullet points instead for long sentences to make your resume even shorter. Next, make sure you're using the right format for your situation. If you have employment gaps, it's best to use a functional or a combination resume. And if you're looking to switch to a different domain, industry, vertical, a functional resume can be used to showcase your transferable skills. From a format perspective, one essential thing to keep in mind is that your resume should be readable.
Mm-hmm.
This means it should have enough white space, page margins, font size of at least 11, and some spacing between bullet points. It should also be free from distractions like several different fonts, font sizes, or non-standard colors. There are certain elements that ATS software can't read, such as tables, images. So make sure you aren't using those on your resume.
And obviously, your resume should look professional. So please, please don't use a font like Comic Sans.
Right. Yes, another important tip is start your sentences or bullet points with action words.
Actually, can you explain that in a little more detail, please?
Sure, Sugandha. An action verb is a verb that implies that you are doing something. They can help showcase your initiative rather than passively saying you were responsible for something.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, led, managed, surpassed, created, succeeded, delivered are some of the great action verbs to use in your resume. Just make sure you're not repeating the same ones over and over again.
Got it. Thanks. Another newcomer-specific tip I want to add is to make sure that the contact information on your resume is up to date. Many newcomers live in temporary accommodation during their initial weeks, and then they end up finding a long-term rental or they change their phone number after they first arrive in Canada.
Right.
So double-check the contact details on your resume. You don't want to be in a situation where you're shortlisted for an interview, but the recruiter can't reach you because your contact information is incorrect.
Yes, and please make sure the email address you list on your resume is professional. These things will impact the impression you make on the recruiters and or the hiring managers. The same is true for your LinkedIn profile, which you should mention as a part of your contact information. Because trust me, the recruiters will find you on social media anyway. Mm-hmm. More than 90% of employers will look up on LinkedIn and other social media before they consider hiring you. So make sure your social public persona is clean, professional, and polite. You know, it doesn't hurt to do hygiene check before you start your job search and delete any embarrassing or unprofessional post from years ago. Your rule of thumb should be, would it be okay if a future employer sees this post? And if the answer is no, please delete it.
That's a good rule.
If you have a digital portfolio or a professional blog, you should also include a link to that on your resume. That way the recruiter can view a sample of your best work and get a better sense of what you're doing or bringing to the table.
That's a good tip. And when your resume is all done, make sure you proofread it at least 2 or 3 times before sending it out.
Yeah.
If you're not confident in your language skills, you can always ask a friend or a family member to proofread your resume for you. Trust me, typos or grammatical errors can significantly hurt your chances of being called for an interview. And a recruiter may get the impression that you don't pay attention to detail or that your language skills are weak. Now, you've already put a lot of work into your resume and cover letters, so don't let a spelling mistake or a typo ruin your chances.
Right.
Another thing I want to add is that if you've completed your education outside Canada, it is a good idea to get an educational credential assessment or ECA and mention what your degree or diploma's Canadian equivalency is. This helps employers get a better understanding of your education history and also assures them that your educational credentials from abroad is authentic and valid. Prachi, before we wrap this episode up, I also want to talk about some of the things that newcomers should not be adding to their Canadian-style resume.
Sure.
For instance, in my home country, India, it's fairly common to see resumes with photographs or with some personal information like your gender or marital status. Mm-hmm. But these aren't typically part of the Canadian resume format.
That's right, Sugandha. Including your photographs or personal information on your resume can actually work against you. Legally, Canadian employers cannot discriminate against candidates on the basis of gender, age, religion, race, marital status, or sexual preferences. So if your resume includes a photo or any of this information, the recruiter may disqualify your resume so that they can't be held liable for discrimination later. Another thing I have noticed in several newcomer resume is the phrase references available upon request. Background checks are a standard part of recruitment process in Canada, and you will have to provide references when a prospective employer asks for them. So don't waste precious space on your resume to state that the obvious, right? Since we are talking about things not to include on your resume, it's worth clarifying that anything that's not completely true should not be on your resume. Don't forget that the resume screening is just the first step. After this, there will be likely be at least 2 or 3 rounds of interviews with different people, including the hiring manager and possibly the subject matter expert's technical team. Mm-hmm. And you may be questioned about or asked to give examples about things that's on your resume, or they might ask you to do whiteboard coding.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you manage to clear all the interviews without being found out, most Canadian employers conduct a rigorous background check, which includes verifying your academic and work history and contacting your past employers as references.
And to add to that, most employment contracts clearly specify that if you're found to have lied on your resume or job application, even if it's months or years after you've been hired and you started working, you can still be fired. So if you lie, A, you're very likely to get caught. And if you are caught, there will definitely be consequences.
Yes, that's true. I have unfortunately seen this happen a few times. So please, just don't ever lie or, you know, just go overboard on your resume. If it's not true, it's really not worth it.
Mm. Prachi, this has been an incredibly insightful session. I feel I've learned a lot, so I'm sure our newcomer audience will also have picked up on a lot of useful tips. I really appreciate your taking out the time to be here at the studio today. And of course, it was really nice meeting you in person. To everyone who's listening, thank you so much. We hope you're feeling much more confident about creating an impactful Canadian-style resume. And if you're looking for a template to build upon, please download our free Canadian resume and cover letter templates using the link in the episode description. Thank you for listening to the Countdown to Canada podcast by Arrive. For other newcomer resources to help with your career, life, and finances in Canada, check out our website, arrivein.com, and subscribe to our podcast. We hope to see you back for the next episode.